Our gospel reading comes from Galatians chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 7, page 825 in your pew Bibles. Though I do want to give you a little heads up that if you are following along, I'm reading from a slightly different translation. It's very, very similar, though. I don't think you'll get lost or anything. But this is the translation I'll be preaching from, so I might as well read to you from it as well. Paul writes these words, and Paul never tells the Christmas story himself, really. We get it from the Gospels. But this is one place where Paul kind of speaks of the birth of Christ and speaks of the significance of it. A lot of congregations today will be celebrating Epiphany, the wise men coming and the star guiding. We're celebrating Christmas, but we're singing about Epiphany. So this is kind of Paul's Christmas story. He writes these words. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, also an heir, through God. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this doesn't sound like any Christmas story you've probably ever heard before, talking about inheritance and sonship and being a child and being a slave. And yet, the significance of Christmas is found very much in this passage. Now, to understand Paul's words to the Galatians in this chapter, I think we need to develop a bit of an understanding of the historic significance of inheritance, because I think it's something that's kind of been shifted a little bit in our culture today. In our culture today, families have a tendency to be very, very divided. Now and then I'll chat with someone who tells me about their adult children that all live within a 20-minute drive of them, and I think, wow, that's a very exceptional experience, because it doesn't happen much these days, does it? A lot of us, our children end up moving away for work, and our grandchildren are raised away from us, and aside from periodic visits, we don't get to see them a whole lot. And that's a very, very unique thing historically. In the past, families tended to stay very, very close together, and children tended to take on the livelihoods of their parents and continue those same traditions along. In fact, I remember hearing a story about a son that went to his father who, I don't remember the profession, but let's say he was a shoemaker. Okay, this is generations ago. And the son goes to his father and says, Dad, I don't want to be a shoemaker like you. I want to make furniture. And the dad said, well, that's too bad. You can't. And the son said, why not? I'll open up a shop down the street and people can buy furniture from me. And his father said, no one will buy furniture from you. And the son said, why not? And they said, because you're the son of a shoemaker. If people want to buy furniture, they'll go to the son of the furniture maker. But you're a shoemaker. And no one in this town will buy furniture from you. And the son said, well, I'll go to this other town a little ways away. And the father said, that won't work either. And the son said, why won't it work? The father said, well, if you move to that town and open up a furniture shop, no one will buy stuff from you because they'll think, he's from that town. Why is he living in our town? And that was a picture of much of human culture through much of human history. We were very, very tied to our families. And I'll get to this in a moment, but inheritance was very, very much tied to that continuation and to the basic necessities of survival for us. But in our culture today, our families get spread out and our kids move on to their own professions based upon their own skills and their own interests. Depends surprisingly little upon the interests of the parents. There are exceptions. But by and large, our kids choose their own path, don't they? The other big shift in inheritance in our culture is we live a long time. And that's changed the influence of inheritance. And so a lot of us will live very long lives, and among those long lives, we will have long retirements. And so the nature of inheritance shifts. So in many cases, inheritance, while it is an aspect of life and it continues to be an important aspect of life, it's not the be-all and end-all. It's not nearly as central as it once was to us. For many people, by the time they actually inherit from their parents, when their parents pass away, they already own their own home, and it's probably paid for in most cases. They may have a pretty good nest egg set aside because they've already established healthy careers. And in many, many cases, by the time people inherit, they're actually already retired themselves. And so inheritance is not as central to survival as it once was in human history. For much of human history, though, inheritance was tied to the basic necessities of life. And in many parts of our world today, it still is. I was reading a book not so long ago by a medical doctor in the United States, and his family had immigrated from India before he was born. Excuse me. And he told the story about the experience of his parents who had moved to the United States and built up their own livelihoods and professions and life versus the experience of his uncle who remained in India and took care of his father as he aged, who was the patriarch of the family. Now, for this couple that had immigrated to the United States, you know, they got their jobs, they had their children, they bought a house, they built a nest egg, they enjoyed significant prosperity, just as many of us do in our culture and in our time. The uncle, who remained in India, continued to care for his father. And the father continued to make all of the important decisions that affected his children who had stayed, as well as their children, and probably even their children, because they continued to live in a patriarchal structure. So this gentleman that wrote the book spoke of the freedom and livelihood of his parents versus his uncle, who wasn't actually able to own land or make significant decisions that would affect his life and his family's life until he himself was 68 years old. The grandfather lived to be 98, and the uncle at the time of his death was 68. And not until he was 68 was he able to take on, call it adulthood, the responsibilities for his future. And so two things that have really shifted our world around inheritance are the way in which our families spread out and divide and the individual nature of our lives today, and the fact that we live a much longer time than we once did. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because Paul uses an image of inheritance, an image of heirs, to teach us about the nature of our relationship with God. Now, our understanding of that imagery is weaker today than it once was because our culture shifted dramatically. But knowing that image that Paul is using and knowing the significance of it is very, very important for our understanding of what God has done in the coming of Christ. Paul writes this: "My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owner of all of the property." Think today of, say, a family. Well, let's use that furniture making imagery. Think of a family that owns a business that makes furniture. And imagine that they have one child, and that kid at the age of 16 decides, "I'm going to go into the family business. Hey, Mom, Dad, can I come and work for you? And the parents will say, of course. And parents are always, well, often quite happy when their children choose to follow in their path. So this young person comes to the business, and is she going to be the CEO right away? Of course not. She doesn't know anything yet. So this child might get put under the oversight of an experienced employee, maybe someone that's been there for 25 years. And that experienced employee is going to teach this kid the nature of the business and how to do everything from the basic to the most complicated tasks. So we have this apprentice and a teacher. The teacher has a vast amount of knowledge and experience. This apprentice knows almost nothing. But the one with 25 years experience, he or she has no expectation that they will ever own the company, because they know it belongs to this one who as of yet knows very little, but they know that someday it will belong to them. Not because they know more, not because they're more worthy, but because they're the child, because they're the one who will inherit. And that's what makes all the difference. So Paul says, my point is this, heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all of the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the father. But, he writes, when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, God's Son came to us, born under the law just like us, born of a woman just like us. Now the Son has come, and we know from Paul's previous sharing with us that the Son is the one who is to inherit the blessings of the Father. Not us. We're not the children of God. Jesus is. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as children. That is the significance of Christmas. That Jesus comes born just like us, that we might be adopted as children of God. That we might go from the employee that has no expectation of the benefits of inheriting the company, for example, to being the children of the owner, the children of God, the ones who will receive the promise. That is God's gift to you and to me at Christmas time, that you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, also an heir of God. That is God's gift to you in Christ. Thanks be to God for that gift. Amen.